Today's scripture passage comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. Hear the word of the Lord. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, friends. My name is Ken Stewart, pastor on one pastor's on staff. How many of y'all, guys, when you remember as they were sharing the scout laws and such, how many were going through your head? How many wonderful years I remember many, many years ago, both as Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, a big part of my life maturing, growing up. We just read a parable that is very unique only to the Gospel of Luke. And it asks a question, and it encourages, it asks a question to wait. Now, I'm not going to have you raise hand, but I don't know anyone who really enjoys waiting. Do you? I mean, I don't. I mean, there's some of us who are pretty good at it. It doesn't mean that we enjoy it. Sometimes we are required to, but waiting is not necessarily something. It's a discipline, oftentimes forced upon us to accomplish something. In the midst of the summer of 21, just a few years ago, NASA had to wait. They had to wait because there was something that we as a nation sent off, and we sent off and arriving at Mars was a rover. Do you remember what the name of it was? Perseverance. Perseverance arrived in the summer of 21. It arrived onto the scene of Mars going about 12,000 miles an hour. And within a 7-minute window, it went from going 12,000 miles an hour to being able to slowly set the rover down on the surface. It endured temperatures hotter than lava coming in at that kind of speed, but it slowly let Perseverance down in 7 minutes. That's quicker than it takes for us to walk around our church facility. But before then, and as many people from around the globe tuned in our television, I mean, many were still locked down because of COVID, but as many people tuned in to watch Perseverance land, one of the things that so many people missed was the 7.5 months of waiting for it to get there. The NASA engineers simply had to wait. Oh, they tried to wait but constructively, and they ran odd types of scenarios of what they were going to do if it got there, hoping against hope that all of their plans and the 85 million the 85 billions of dollars that they were spent on trying to get back to Mars was actually going to bear fruit. They just didn't know. Month after month of waiting. They had no choice. Perseverance and the real star of the show finally arrived. I want to remind you of what NASA was waiting for. Perseverance was the latest rover that we put on the ground on this red planet. They actually placed it perfectly. It landed in an area that NASA thought looks like an old seabed, that it might be the perfect location if there was ever life on Mars, to be able to find some way to see it and to find it. All this they were waiting on. But one thing that most people missed was something that was riding on the belly of the rover. Now, the rover, I don't know if you, most of the times when I think about sending something, I'm usually think about a kid's toy that's small, maybe a foot or two long and big. No, just, I want you to think about how big the rover was, about the size of a small car. Just think of a Honda Civic. That's the size of toy we sent to Mars. But underneath it was something even more spectacular. Was an $85 million helicopter. I want you to see what it looks like. It was called Ingenuity. We sent this to Mars hoping that we would be able to fly it at least five times. If you're good with math, that's $17 million a flight. They were hoping that the flight would be able to get 10 to 15 feet off the ground, expand 90 seconds. They were hoping for five flights, but they had no idea if it would make it. Well, Ingenuity, if you've had a chance, you can go online and look at many of the different flights it made. It far surpassed their hopes. It didn't make the five flights. It made 72 flights. And I tell you this because it was been flying since 2001. And I say this because it was just a few weeks ago, the 18th of January, that the last flight landed a little awkward and it was put out of service. And NASA had to retire what they had originally called Ingenuity. They nicknamed the helicopter Jenny. Jenny landed awkward and broke, but she retired after 72 flights. Sometimes when we wait, if we're willing to wait, the most amazing things can happen. But no one knew. For 7.5 months, they waited. All their best guess, all they had hoped for was that everything was going to work out, but you just never know. Because you would probably agree with me that waiting is more of a lost art in our world today. We don't do waiting well. However, you can bet that if anyone finds a way to understand waiting, a young lady who is giving birth understands waiting all too well. 9 months still. I would imagine that if someone found a way to speed that up, there would be many who would want to pass and wouldn't want to pass on that. But we are all a part and parcel of a very impatient now culture. It's a culture that we can't fathom how long it used to take for mail to travel. You know, it used to take 3.5 to 4 months to get a letter from the East Coast to the West Coast. And if you really had to get something there quickly, back in the day, you would have to get something to St. Louis on the thinnest of paper, a note. And you remember the Pony Express guaranteed delivery within 10 days. Can you imagine pushing the button on your phone or on your laptop or your iPad and it taking 10 days to get a message? We're not a people who like waiting anymore. We don't even turn our computers or our iPads off. I remember how when the first computers first came out, the big thing was how long or how short of a span. That every year it got shorter and shorter of a span to boot them up. You remember that? And it finally got down just to 30 seconds, and now we don't even turn them off. It's still messing up. We put those one of those little things on in our house to register one of our air conditioner and heaters. A little Google app on the side of a wall, and I walk through the living room, and all of a sudden it lights back up, and it scares me every time I walk through. I'm not used to something always being there. We are not a very patient people. iPads pop open as soon as we look at them. I mean, even our fast food plans on trying to get food to us from the time we drive into their parking lot. They want us leaving the parking lot in less than 2 minutes. And sometimes we think that is an eternity. And they've even added two different lines to take your order, and there's usually three or four people handing out food on the other side, trying to get it in and out in the smallest amount of time. We are very impatient people, which makes being a follower of Jesus Christ at times rather frustrating. I mean, the longer we are a part of the family of God, the more we begin to realize that God is not beholden to our obsession with efficiency and competition to shorten the amount of turnaround time. Our Father who art in heaven, the one in whom we hallow, the one in whom we, one in which we praise, the one in whom we belong and by whom we are loved by Jesus Christ and indwelled by the Holy Spirit, is not troubled with things taking time. It is especially true and most vividly illustrated on how God chooses to deal with sinful and broken people. You know, that sister-in-law, you wish would just get her act together today. Or that daughter or that son whom you wish would begin to respect you now. Or maybe the spouse in which you wish was with you today. We've been praying for them and working on them and being patient with them, and sometimes we wish God would just land a Jenny helicopter on top of them to get their attention. That's why today's text, today's little parable that only shows up in Luke, is so amazing. Because Jesus being in the middle of a parable after parable of talking about how important it is to come to repentance, he's giving us a reminder that God is patient. And oftentimes for our sense, maybe a little too patient. That God is patient and willing to wait for someone to come and to experience the grace that Christ offers. Jesus tells the parable. I mean, I imagine that we would understand exactly what the gardener is or what the owner of this vineyard says. The vineyard comes in, and I mean, several things are going. He comes into a vineyard. He sees a tree. It's been there several years. He was hoping against hope that finally there would be fruitfulness. But nothing. After a few years, you finally get, why is it even wasting the soil? Cut it down. But rather than that, the gardener, the vine dresser, intercedes for this tree and says, give it one more year. One more year. Let me spend some time one more year preparing the soil, putting fertilizer around the tree, hoping and trying to gain to allow the tree to be fruitful. Give us more time. It may seem insignificant, but this one sentence, this one story from Jesus, it's an essential reminder to how God does God's most important, yet often painfully slow work of changing lives. I can't imagine being the one that God was, the owner was speaking to. Far too often we want to move quickly when we hear things like this. Move quickly to the judgment. Cut it down. Let's move on. How often someone who God has been working on and working in is shortened by the amount of time of people around them. Friends, Jesus wants to nurture and love us into fruitfulness. And maybe for us to grasp him, maybe to understand just what's going on. It's the idea that the gardener says, let me spend some time around this and I'll dig around the tree and I'll put fertilizer, I'll put manure on the tree. I'll try to help it grow. In relational terms, that's the same thing of giving something truth and love. Let me give you all the right information. And sometimes we think if we give someone all of the right information, that's all that's needed. But think about yourself. Most times information isn't all that's needed. Sometimes we need the Spirit of God to work within our hearts and our soul. I mean, not only do we experience the truth of the gospel, not only do we know the love of Jesus Christ, but there's one more thing that God is so gracious in giving each of us, and that is time. Don't neglect the very first thing the vine dresser says, give me one more year. Give me more time so that we can help produce fruitfulness within their life. Give us one more year. The vine dresser doesn't ask forever. I mean, the reality to the parable is that there is a time. There is a time that God holds us accountable. There is a time where God comes and judges our lives. There is a time. But thank God for most of us. Thank God for us that time has not yet come. It means that the members of the household of God must not only learn how to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in a way that shares hope and life with others, but that we must be among those who practice the lost art of waiting. Waiting may not be an easy aspect, but maybe we can understand it from our own life, how long we have had to wait, how long God has had to wait on us. So there is a way of waiting. First, we wait with the golden rule in mind. Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish of others, do unto them. Whatever you wish for yourself, do unto others. Do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We must consistently keep in mind the amount of grace and gift that you and I have received, we need to extend to others. If we look back at our own life and see how gracious God has been to us, how can we not extend that grace to others? The second is that we must keep in mind the very goodness of God. It is tempting to get caught up and it's tempting to get grumpy when God takes so long in changing someone else's life. While we ignore the many times that we have asked God to extend grace and mercy when we continue to fail ourselves. There's an old Jewish proverb that says that everyone should carry two pieces of paper, one in each pocket. One piece of paper you pull out and it simply says, You are dust and ashes. We'll see that more in just a few weeks as we enter into the Lenten season. It's a reminder that for us that really before God, we have nothing to offer. That we are people who are bound by the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior, who has given himself freely to us. The second letter, the second piece of paper would say that the very world was created for you. It's a reminder that not only are we the ones who receive the grace and mercy of God, but God loved us so much that God has adopted us into his family, that you and I are sons and daughters of the King. I have a Bible study that meets in my house every Friday morning. Have four or five young men that come in, and we're walking through Hebrews right now. And right almost every week here later, have one young man who continues to struggle with trying to recognize of his own sin that God has worked over, but he's so hesitant to see himself and to recognize that he is a child of God who is loved beyond measure. He fully recognizes his sinfulness, and he wants to say, oh, I'm just a sinner, but he doesn't realize I'm also a child of the King. Maybe the best would say, on one hand, I am dust and ashes. On the other hand, for me, Christ has died. I have all that I am hidden in Christ. I'm a child of God. So yeah, we must wait with the golden rule. We must wait with the goodness of God in mind. But we also must wait with an end in mind. Jesus does point out in the parable that eventually time will run out. that we will be questioned whether or not our lives have been fruitful or unfruitful. We will be pruned. Eventually, something will happen. The truth can always, that truth can also be freeing to us. Many of us have people in our lives in which we so desperately have been sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with. And the last thing we want to do is give up on them, because God never does. And we don't ever come with condemnation, but we do come recognizing there may be a moment in our lives when we need to be able to walk away and let God deal with them more sternly. But just knowing that that freedom is there oftentimes gives us the strength to pour hope and life and presence and peace back into someone's life. You know, waiting is inevitable. Sure, we like faster in our life. We live in a culture that doesn't understand it very well. Babies still take 9 months to be delivered. Mars is still 350 million miles away. God is still, the graciousness that God is still giving broken people bountiful amounts of truth and love and time. Most often in our waiting, we hope for simple results. I think some oftentimes God works within our hearts in such an amazing way that the ones God takes so long to redeem produce the same type of results that a helicopter on Mars can produce, rather than 5 flights completely changed by doing 72. Oftentimes those that God works on the hardest, they redeem and are shared with God's grace and proclaim God's hope to others the best. So yes, we wait. But we wait with hope, just as Christ has waited for us. Would you pray with me this morning? Gracious God, I pray that you would redeem our time as we give it back to you. Thank you. Thank you for waiting on our hardness of hearts. And give us the grace and the joy and the hope and life of being able to wait on others. Father, we have the joy of seeing how you have transformed us. And yes, there are things within our life that you have been working on and you have redeemed, and it has taken a long time. So, Father, as children, as sons and daughters of the King, may we live like Christ and offer the hope of salvation, the hope of joy, the hope of life, as long as it takes. For we ask this in his name. And amen.